welcome to the beach in Cannes. We are literally sat on the beach bar, which is, you know, amazing. But well, let's quickly rattle around. My name's Ben Smith. I'm from Wireless Worker. Who the hell are you?
I'm Ray Blanford, and I'm from All About Symbian.
Are you really still All About Symbian?
For the time being, but watch this space.
And I'm Ewan McLeod. I'm from Mobile Industry Review.
And Ewan, it's your fault we're here in Cannes. I mean, I say fault because we are sitting on a beach bar in the glorious sunshine. Why are we here?
It's lovely, beautiful blue sea as well.
Amazing. I'm going to take a picture and put it up with this podcast.
Good idea, good idea. Well, we are here at the guests of Read Meadem. Read Meadem are the organisers of MIP TV, which is the world's largest entertainment content rights swapping event. Within MIP TV, which attracts about 12,000 attendees down to Cannes every year, they have added a new segment called Connected Creativity, which is exploring the digital connected elements of television and entertainment. And we are here to soak up the atmosphere, participate in some of the panels, and I was doing a lot of video interviews, which you'll see published across the MIP TV site. We're here just to see what's going on in the television marketplace, which is quite different, obviously, from the mobile marketplace.
Yeah, Rafe, it's been really strange not to be at like a mobile event, isn't it? Because these people, they use mobile, but they're not excited by it in the way that we are.
No, they don't get excited about the technology. It's just it's something that happens to be there. And that's actually been, for me, one of the biggest insights of this conference. In that it's quite useful to step outside the mobile industry bubble and see how other people observe it. Because although we might, as a group here, and probably most of the people listening to this, regard mobile as the future digital heartbeat and where everything's going to go, that's definitely not the case here.
And so, you know, in between the beaches and the champagne and, you know, the limousines and, you know, the easy living we've been having, we have actually been attending some really interesting sessions. And we've just come back from Blogger Roundup, haven't we, where basically we asked all the social media commentators, all the bloggers, to give their opinion of the event. And a really good conversation, actually. Interestingly, sort of outsiders looking in. So why don't we just quickly recap that for people who are listening. And Ewan, why don't you kick off? What was the thing that stood out for you about this conference?
I think a couple of things. One of the key things here is when we say mobile or mobile, as the Americans here pronounce it, they mean iPhone. Right, so that's quite, I mean, the iPhone, maybe Android, but that's really quite a key thing that just, it continues to surprise me that there's not much outside the Hollywood bubble, not much going on in the mind in terms of Nokia, BlackBerry, or Samsung, or the like.
I think that's a little unfair, because I think some of them were aware of others, but it did depend on their geography. But what was true, I actually thought what came across quite strongly for me was tablets were actually stronger than mobile, and the iPad is the exemplar of that. And it's almost as if they're more comfortable with tablets because of the size. It's almost closer to the TV, and it did strike me sometimes that, well, yes, tablets are going to get used more, partly because of the people that buy tablets are more likely to watch that kind of content. And there was still an awareness of mobile that needs to be better appreciated. And it's easy to say that from a mobile perspective, but I do think there's a strong argument to be made there.
And I think my key takeaway was that these guys, I mean, I saw John M. Chu, the director from who did the recent Bieber film.
You don't need to explain that. I'm sure everybody listening knows exactly who Justin Bieber is and have watched the film several times over.
I am a Belieber. Well, no, I'm not really, yeah. And he was talking about how he managed his movie, created the movie, through a whole host of interactivity with Justin Bieber's fans. And not one point did he talk about the medium. He didn't mention mobile. Mobile was inferred, but he didn't ever mention mobile or Twitter or how it happened. It's just a layer above that he and that this industry seems to be operating on.
So is it because he didn't care about mobile, or just because he was more interested in what he did with it?
Yeah, I think he was just like, yeah, I want the fans to interact. I want to interact with the fans, and I'll do it. Maybe I'll use Facebook. He might name Facebook, or he might name Twitter. But how you do it, I don't think he cares.
It was just an enabler for interactivity. And I think John Chu was one that definitely more forward-thinking. I think it's fair to say that he was kind of an edge case. And it was the interactivity that gets talked about a lot in TV. And it's not the simple, you know, interacting when the broadcast is happening. He was actually more interested in the interactivity during the production process. So one of the things he did, I mean, you watched this, it was actually having footage edited into the process later on of people actually watching the original cut of the film. And he also used Twitter when shooting scenes, didn't he?
That's right. So they wanted to, he described how they wanted to film fans getting ready for the actual stadium show. So as you're going up in town in New York, for example, when you're walking toward the event, and they put a tweet out saying, listen, if you're going to the event tonight, please would you wear purple? And would you also text us your cross street about where you're going to be around about this time? Because we've got a helicopter and we want to do a flyby. And the fans played ball, and they then appeared in the film.
Yeah, and he did a similar thing with bring a glow stick along so he can show it. So it was almost crafting the shots, but then crowdsourcing the cinematography to get it looking good, to get it looking part of the film. So a very clever way of constructing, with the help of the fan base, what the film was going to look like, but still retaining quite a strong element of editorial control, if you like, by energising the fan base to almost be sheep-like and sort of extras without any pay.
So we're going to get letters in from Justin Bieber fans saying, okay, I'm not a sheep.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's all cool, but what's that got to do with mobile? I mean, what's going to happen as a result of that?
Well, I think it's what I tend to talk about in terms of things being frictionless and easy, and the reason the iPhone and to some extent Android has been very successful in some segments of the planet, it's just because it's easy, it's simple, it works. And this is when you see this director we were talking about has jumped into using these kind of technologies. And if you don't have a handset that that does this, you're outside the door. You're looking in. So what I would like to know, by the way, is off all these Justin Bieber fans, I wonder how many of them were prompted to upgrade or to change their handsets or change their mobile usage because they've got all of their friends are interacting with Bieber, and you need to have a particular, a data plan, a decent handset to be able to do these kind of things.
Yeah, I think the relevance also for the mobile industry here is actually what we're seeing, because largely of digital content, we're seeing a convergence between TV industry and mobile and others as well, and broadcast and on demand, whichever way you want to slice it. And mobile is going to be the predominant device form factor. Now, we can talk about that back and forth, but it was also the idea of the second screen. You know, you wouldn't watch just one screen. You'd have a second screen, either for watching an additional channel or interactive content. But there was a very interesting discussion, I thought, about what was the primary screen. And I think, Ben, you came up with the ultimate soundbite here.
So let's just back up, because second screen is this term that everyone throws around at conferences like this, but I think quite a lot of people won't have heard of it, and it took me a while to understand. So, Rafe, what generally do people mean by second screen?
Well, that means you've got you're watching a TV and then you've got a tablet or a phone in front of you which you're using at the same time. And so it's the stats about things like 77% of people in the US do something else while watching TV. Now, that might be using a laptop or tablet or phone. And so it's this idea of more than one, your attention on more than one thing at the same time.
And at that session we were talking, it's interesting, isn't it, because we were all in Barcelona a few months ago at the Mobile World Congress, very, very mobile-centric, looking at telecoms and operators and everything. And everyone, I think, in the telecoms industry, mobile industry, thinks the second screen is the telly, don't they? They think it's back up. Ewan?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. I always thought mobile was the third screen.
So what's the third... Hang on a minute. So if TV and the thing on my lap are the two screens, does the third screen
come? What about your desktop computer?
I mean, I think that's
that was a second screen, right? So TV was one.
Yeah, there's cross concepts here. The third screen of one was TV, second was PC, third was mobile. And this second screen definition is actually crossing over, but means completely different things, and it's to do with the way you're watching it rather than a way you consume it.
Like number one is like the number of screens in your life, and the other one is the number of screens at any given time.
Attention.
Yeah. Because we said that, for example, second screen in mobile, people think that all the attention's being given to the mobile because you're interacting with that and the telly's on in the background. But here, all the media people think that you're watching the TV and then you might quickly switch over to your second screen, your laptop or your iPad or some phone, in order to then do some interactive stuff with the TV show. It's really interesting to see how everyone kind of thinks their industry's first.
Yeah, and that was one of the themes that came out for me, was there's a lot of talk about this, yet the practicalities haven't always been worked out. I mean, there is discussion of it. But the general consensus, or the general thing I got from it, was actually they operated in isolation. You know, mobile was soloized into mobisodes, or specifically for interacting with text voting, or maybe Twitter. Yeah. And TV was, you know, obviously soloized or anything. And the reality is they need to be integrated to get the kind of the experiences that we see in the concept films that is going to actually be the thing that saves both industries, in a sense.
Okay, so we've talked about second screening, and I mean, wow, we're well into the jargon now. Let's just fall back. Rafe, what was your sort of observation, your thing at the conference?
Ooh, that's a great question. Difficult to pick out.
He says stalling.
I've got one for you. I think just a little while ago we did a summary blogger, summary crowdsourced summary thing, and on that I asked a question to the panel, and Rafe was there, and I said what innovation, what things have you been seeing? And Rafe started talking about the crowdsourcing of, or crowdfunding of, television shows. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the idea behind this was that, you know, traditionally when you have TV shows, it's all done through your network broadcaster, that kind of thing. And, you know, the way to explain it most simply is your favourite TV series get cancelled, and everyone's up in arms about it. What if you could get together in a group collective in some way and actually pay for the next season of that TV show?
Yeah.
So in Ewan's case, he would want to pay for the next season of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, but we can't help him in his poor taste, can we?
No, we can't.
Stargate, but, you know, Universe, that's been canned.
That's true. But it was using these. The idea would be to use these engaged, energised fans, which are appearing on Facebook in their thousands, and, you know, they already do it. They send in Peanuts to Save Jericho, and various other shows have had similar.
Fast Forward is another one.
Absolutely.
The Event.
What was it? Roswell, back in my youth, it was sending in Tabasco sauce packets to one of the broadcasters to save that show. What if, rather than doing that, you could actually say, I'm going to plonk down £10 for the next season? So it was just a sort of, it was actually throw out what could be the next disruptive thing, and that was, I mean, it's not one thing I drew out of the conference, but it was certainly one of the ideas.
But that's not mobile, though, is it? I mean, I'm interested to see how mobile makes that happen. I mean, we keep talking about all these, you know, connected media, connected experiences. I mean, the whole session's been called Connected Creativity, hasn't
yes.
it?
And,
yes.
Are we saying now that mobile is, you know, it's not about voice, it's not about talking, it's just about effectively, you know, a connection in your hand, and then it enables all of this stuff?
Well, okay, let me answer that with a question. When I download an episode of Stargate Universe onto my iPhone and then sit in the train watching it, is that a mobile experience?
Doesn't matter, isn't it? That's the
I don't know.
I think to answer your question more generally, Ben, you know, so what was the theme? And actually what struck me was the idea that content consumption was not in one device. It wasn't on the TV. There was a great awareness that you wanted to consume content across multiple devices. And, you know, mobile is many things to many people, but here it was about how can you consume the content and then make money from it.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting business models, which I think are worth talking about, you know, from some of the innovation things we saw. But from a general point of view, it was the idea that you might watch it on the TV, but then you might also want to stream it to your phone or stream it to your tablet. And there was an implicit acknowledgement that mobile would probably be a very important mechanism for doing that. And people in the mobile industry would probably say, actually, the TV will turn into basically a dumb screen that you just plug your phone into. I don't think the TV industry has quite thought that radically about it, but there was, you know, if you talk to people in the corridors and the back rooms, there was that, you know, implicit thing that mobile could well take over as that heartbeat device.
Okay, so this is a good opportunity to talk about Tommy Ahonen. Ewan. Now, Tommy spoke first day, didn't he?
Yes, he did a keynote address.
Well, let's back up a bit.
Yes.
Who's Tommy Ahonen?
Tommy Ahonen is a mobile. I think it's fair to say he's a mobile personality, but also a mobile consultant. He does a lot of work for most of the operators and some of the companies around that industry, helping advise them on strategy. He's also a multi book author. I think he's got 11 or 12 books out. No, hold on a minute.
17.
Yeah. All right, very impressive. And he is, I think it's fair to say, if you've seen Tommy speak, you know, he's quite a draw. And he's a little bit Marmite. Some people don't like...
He makes the Energizer Bunny look like a limp lettuce.
Well, he did say he was highly caffeinated that day and jet-lagged as well. But I like Tommy's delivery. I also like the fact that he is very straightforward. Some people don't like how he focuses on the massive, massive potential and current potential of SMS, of MMS and the like. These are dirty words now, I think, in many mobile circles.
Okay, so what was he saying then? Because I missed that session.
Right, yeah.
But Tommy always seems to have quite like a controversial view, you know.
Well, he shocked the hell out of people, actually. I was watching the audience and with some of his points.
I mean, his two key messages were essentially around the size of mobile as a segment. You know, talking about TV, 1.2 billion people or users. Yeah. Versus mobile, which was 5.2 billion. And then the sort of analogue to that was, how do you approach those mobile users? And he said, which I think is the controversial bit from a mobile point of view, don't just think about smartphones and apps, because that's only 18% of the addressable mobile market. Mm. Instead, you need to think about SMS, because that's 4.2 billion people, or MMS, which is 2.4 billion people.
But really, I mean, I don't know, I'm not, Tommy's a nice guy, but we're talking about SMS here. I mean, if you've got a dumb phone and all you're doing is sending SMS and making voice calls, are you really wanting to do all the kind of cool, you know, getting involved in films, interactive stuff that we've been talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a controversial message because it doesn't pay any... The raw numbers don't look at attention data and that kind of thing. However, you know, his answer to this is, it's the way you can make money now. Apps, as we all know, have a monetization issue at the moment. So we're talking 5 years, 10 years for apps, whatever it happens to be. And he was talking about some examples for SMS and MMS. I mean, Ewan, I think you remember a good one for China.
Yeah, people were actually open-mouthed at this. And he said to one newspaper in China, 39% of the readership, have subscribed to get an MMS that sends them two headlines up for the next day, the upcoming headlines. And when he said that figure, a lot of people were going, oh my god, that's amazing.
So say that again. 39%.
Alright, 40% of the readership,
yeah,
of a newspaper in China receive the upcoming headlines, so tomorrow's headlines,
yeah,
in an MMS today.
That's pretty amazing, because I mean, I've never heard of anyone...
That's why they're paying for it as well. That's you know, revenue coming into the newspaper.
Okay, so are we saying, because so basically, we're saying like MMS and SMS actually do some pretty rich, sort of interactive stuff. It doesn't matter; it's not pretty.
Yeah. Well, he shocked another part of the audience when he said, "Right, okay, you know, American Idol, all the SMS voting, the revenue there, $500 million last year."
So these are the kind of numbers that make business people stand up and go, "Wow, yeah, I want a slice of that."
Yeah, this is money, and I think part of this. I mean, we see the SMS voting thing in the Western markets very much so, and I think everyone can see where SMS does have potential, and it was very much the money message. But it does vary a lot by markets, and I think we should say in all this, it's always easy to come up with one case study.
Yeah.
How widely it applies is something that sometimes is better left to further speculation. But to give another example, in the Indian market, a third of all SMS text messages aren't person-to-person, which is how we traditionally think of them.
Yeah.
They're actually about broadcasting data of some kind or another, now be that news, price data or something else. And so it is important to remember that actually it's SMS and MMS are a content distribution mechanism that work now for 80% of all mobile phones anywhere on the planet, whereas the apps and the smartphone stuff, which we spend a lot of time thinking and talking about, actually only apply to a relatively small thing. And in terms of distribution, in terms of content, numbers, scale really does count.
So that's absolutely amazing then. And it's interesting that both those examples come from India and China, respectively, where there are huge, huge numbers of consumers. And so what those consumers like and what they do has almost, you know, far more significant impact than what you like in the UK or North America, doesn't it? So what was sort of Tommy's conclusion about this? Is he saying don't bother with smartphones?
I think he said, by all means... Well, in fact, he did say, look, smartphones, apps, I love it. I'm really looking forward to seeing even more innovation there. But in 5 years' time, you know, that'll be relevant in terms of revenue. Right now, you can make a ton of revenue from SMS and MMS. That was his message.
Yeah, he said the innovation would happen in smartphones and apps, and so that was important to pay attention to. But it was almost an appeal to the lowest common denominator, a bit like the mobile web message versus apps as well. That, you know, if you go for this, you can reach more people, and that it was basically dollar signs going da-ding, da-ding in people's eyes.
Yeah. Well, he was giving some examples whereby... if you want, and I'm not too sure how I react to this myself, but if you want to hear the storyline or find out the storyline of a particular soap, you can actually, you know, you get sent the output in a premium SMS. Is it Hollyoaks or something? Can you give an example?
Well, it was Texas-style, which is, I think, again,
right, yeah, that's...
in the Philippines. And it was basically the idea that you could send a question and get it personally answered by the star. And for that week, they would guarantee that the star would answer it, and it was a way of building up the fan base. And of course, the caveats then came in that actually most of the questions are answered by a personal assistant, and only the really funky questions go through to the star. But each of these questions they can charge a dollar for, and gets into sort of the astroturfing issues. Nonetheless, this, you know, if you can do it in a believable and an honest way, there's certainly revenue potential there.
Yes.
I mean, he did then talk about how in the Japanese market there's a game show which is basically a version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, i.e. you get eliminated for answering a question wrong, but everyone gets to play along by sending in the answer via text or via a smartphone application, and it's sort of, you can actually get into the TV program because you can program in your avatar and that will then appear on the TV screen, so it's a mass participatory television through the medium of mobile.